Support for GPR streaming comes from Port of Entry, a podcast from KPBS and PRX. Border people often inhabit this in-between space created by the separation and collision of two cultures. The Port of Entry podcast tells personal stories from this place, stories of love, hope, struggle, and survival from border crossers and other people whose lives are shaped by the wall. Find Port of Entry on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Details at portofentrypod.org.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. This Thanksgiving, the CDC is warning against holiday travel and big family get-togethers because the pandemic is exploding. Nevertheless, Americans are flocking to airports. More than 1 million air travelers passed through security checkpoints at U.S. airports Friday and Sunday, according to the TSA. In fact, Sunday was the single busiest day at airport checkpoints since the pandemic began in March. So we've got to talk about COVID-19 and our holiday choices. In like every great Thanksgiving meal, there's going to be a Debbie Downer.
Can't stop Debbie Downer.
Hey, can you pass some of that turkey?
Oh, it looks juicy.
Boy, the traffic was a disaster coming up, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing compared to the disaster the Chinese are going through. What? They're still digging out from typhoon season, just in time for the bird flu to take even more lives. Who wants some more wine?
I'd love some.
Okay.
Hey, do you guys think the Pilgrims brought a bottle of Pinot Grigio to the first Thanksgiving?
I'll tell you what the Pilgrims did bring. Smallpox. It killed scores of Native Americans, ravaging their population. And that was before we got around to shattering their spirit.
Is COVID-19 our Debbie Downer this Thanksgiving? How are you dealing with COVID Thanksgiving and travel this year? Have you canceled plans or do you think concerns about the virus are overblown? This is despite the quarter of a million Americans who have died from the virus and the record numbers of cases being tracked right now. We want you to join our conversation as we talk about how to do Thanksgiving this year and what your options are. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can email us at thesource@tpr.org. You can use Twitter at @TPRSource and that number 833-877-8255. You can text us on that number as well. We're joined this hour by Lisa Lee, PhD, epidemiologist, bioethicist, and associate vice president for research and innovation at Virginia Tech. Lisa Lee, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Priya Parker, author of The Art of Gathering and How We Meet and Why It Matters, and host of the New York Times podcast, Together Apart. Priya Parker, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much for having me.
Priya, does every Thanksgiving dinner have a Debbie Downer? And what about this one this year?
I want to offer your listeners a counter narrative to Debbie Downer, which is a man who was born in 1933 and is still alive today named Keith Johnstone. And if Debbie Downer is, talks about all the things we can't do, Keith Johnstone is amazing, legendary improv teacher who talks about having what he calls an imaginative response, which is looking at what's in front of you, no matter how big of a curveball it is. And he would do this with actors on the stage, but it also very much applies to this moment we find ourselves in, and ask, well, what does this moment need now? What is this moment asking of me? And how might I actually respond to this offer? And you may find that you have a very different emotional reaction than just mourning all of the things that you can't do in the ways that we used to do them.
So throw away the script.
To put away the script. I mean, a huge part of Thanksgiving and so many of our most meaningful gatherings and traditions are stories that we tell and sometimes, change and tweak over years, over generations. and activities and motions that we make our own within our own families that made sense at a specific moment in time. And whether that's, you know, getting a turkey because it feeds more people and it's cheaper than serving a, you know, steak, or whether it's gathering around the table inside versus outside, these were all decisions somebody made at some moment in time. And now with COVID facing us and it's becoming clearer and clearer that it's, you know, it's that the ways that we typically thought of gathering with big people indoors is not going to work. It's time to actually ask, well, what does this moment need? And to not watch the scripts as actors do, but begin to actually say, this is a tradition that I is half invented, half created. And it's time again to create.
Lisa Lee, looking at this through with the medical side of it, and we even have elected leaders like Texas Senator Ted Cruz playing down this cautionary tone about what kind of decisions we're making right now. How serious is it right now, and why do we have to address our traditional way of getting together?
Yeah, great question. I think there's no doubt that the epidemic is raging across the country, and in Texas in particular, you know, we're looking at already over 1 million cases and over 21,000 deaths, a couple hundred a day. Each of these deaths, each of these illnesses, each of these hospitalizations is a person, and that person has loved ones who are grieving and who have faced a loss, and it's very real to them. And I think that the key with this epidemic right now and how it's changed since the beginning is that most of the spread we're seeing now is not from a person who's coughing and sneezing right next to you. It is from asymptomatic carriers, so people who have no idea that they're infected, don't have any symptoms themselves, but every time we exhale, if we're infected, we exhale that virus too. So the spread is becoming much, much harder to pinpoint with so much of COVID and so much infection in the community. It's getting harder to find what a source of an infection was. And we really now are at the point where we just have to assume that everyone we interact with can potentially be infectious. And that includes ourselves.
And Lisa Lee, we've been going through this virus now for 9 months or so. We've had holidays. We've seen people insisting on getting together for events, Mother's Day and 4th of July, and we have seen blooms of the statistics right after. We know what happens when people get together for these important holidays.
We do, and certainly it makes sense just logically that if more people are getting together and there are people spreading the virus, we're going to see more cases. And in fact, the data show that 4th of July, a couple weeks later, a bloom of cases. And with those cases come hospitalizations and deaths. And, you know, at the beginning of this epidemic, we talked about flattening the curve, making it so we don't overwhelm the health system, so our healthcare providers and our systems can take care of people who are sick. And we did that before and during the first wave of this epidemic. We're now on the third wave in our country of this epidemic, and we are not flattening the curve. And so what we're seeing now is a lot of risk for hospitalization and deaths after these gatherings, holiday gatherings.
All right, we're taking a break. We're talking about Thanksgiving and how to do COVID-19. Throw away the script, be innovative. We're going to talk about what you can do on Zoom. Don't try to replicate what you normally do, what you do in person on Zoom, but there are some clever things that you can do. We're going to talk about that. Our phone lines are open. How are you going to be doing Thanksgiving or Zoomsgiving? 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, and we're going to be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. What you should know before you go to Thanksgiving about the risks that are associated with traveling and getting together with loved ones. We're dealing with a pandemic. The numbers are incredible, frightening. They're getting worse. Make your decisions informed. We're going to give you the information right now. And if you've got questions, call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Even if it's not just a medical question, maybe it's like, how do I tell my mother-in-law that I don't want to go to the get-together because I have to tell her I don't want to be exposed. And then everybody gets all upset. So, Lisa Lee, how would I ask that? Priya Parker, how would I ask that question, deal with it?
To try to first, one option, and it depends on, we're getting pretty close to the holidays, to Thanksgiving, and so perhaps the window's closing, but to provide an alternative that is still fun in a new way. And so on one hand, it can be, let's not, I'd rather not join. But on the other hand is to actually rally the family, particularly if it's just one person or one couple that's wanting to do it in person and everybody else is, nervous, to offer a replacement idea that's still meaningful to them, that still honors them, but perhaps is on Zoom or perhaps is figuring out a way to all cook the same recipe at the same time or finding a way to still sync watch that football game that everybody likes doing. So not just to say no, but to provide an alternative that still feels connected.
I'm going to go to the callers. The number is 833-877-8255 with Abraham. And Abraham, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate taking my call. And one of the concerns I have as a doctor, when I visit the patient room or see employee, even in the hospital or outside, they're wearing the face mask improperly. They cover the nose, they cover the mouth, but not the nose. I see that in the airport on a picture, on a TV. You know, your program is wonderful to mention that you have to cover your nose. That is my problem throughout my practice due to COVID-19. But I do see patients with COVID-19 because I'm OBGYN doctors and I have to see the OB patient. And thank you for giving very important information every Monday regarding COVID-19. Very practical.
Thank you, Abraham, for your call. Lisa Lee, proper mask wearing. I'm hearing now people double masking, triple masking now when they go out. And then they don't cover the nose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such a great point. I do think the important thing here is to remember that what we're trying to do is to avoid breathing in air that other people exhale. So if you exhale through your nose and you don't have a mask covering that, that's something others are going to inhale. And that's really what we're looking at with the mask, is it's a shield over, the places air comes out and goes in. So I think the idea of wearing a mask, it has to be something that's relatively comfortable. It's not fun. Nobody likes to wear one. But if it's painful or it is irritating in some way that it's going to cause you not to wear it, then I would say try a different mask. There's no reason to, mask two and three masks. A simple double-layer cotton mask will do fine to help protect you and the others around you. Just make sure that it's comfortable and it covers all the places where air goes in or out, and that's your nose and your mouth.
Well, if you think a mask is going to be uncomfortable, just wait until you try a ventilator.
Well, it's interesting you say that. Of course, that there's no question that being sick is much worse than wearing a mask. I think to your question earlier about the blooms of new infections that happen after holidays and get-togethers, we're especially concerned about that at Thanksgiving, because if you think about what's a few weeks after Thanksgiving and when that's the usually the December holidays, Christmas, Hanukkah, et cetera, and people who potentially are going to be ill after the
the Thanksgiving gatherings will be ill on Christmas, and that is not a gift that you want to give to anyone that you care about. So really think carefully. Now we have an opportunity to not expose folks over Thanksgiving. As Priya said, it's such a great idea to be thinking about creative and unusual ways to celebrate. Think more about what this holiday means to you than why it's important to get together. My family and I, for example, one of the things we really care about and love about getting together is hearing what we're grateful for. So instead of doing that in person, we started an email chain, and each of us is responding to all and tagging the next person to document what it is we're grateful for about each other. And so there are a lot of ways we can do that that will help avoid making each other sick.
How do you eat with, is everyone supposed to gather around this same table, or if they're still going to get together, we're all going to be really careful, we're all going to wear a mask, and we're all going to be, but then you sit down together at the table, you take the mask off. So, I mean, that doesn't work, does it, Lisa Lee?
No, it doesn't work very well, and it's a really important question and something that is going to take a lot of creativity. I would suggest that for folks who are getting together with people outside of their household, that a mask is required the entire time until you can be over 6 feet apart from each other. So that doesn't lend itself to a cozy Thanksgiving dinner table. And I would suggest that perhaps the get-together part is separate from the dinner part, and perhaps folks can spend, if they must get together to be with each other, that they spend that time outdoors, if at all possible, with a mask and with enough distance between each other. Once the meal comes, either pack it up and have folks take it home to their respective homes and eat that separately, or if that's not feasible, to eat that meal outside where you can stay distanced and remove the mask. But it is not a good idea to sit around a dining room table with folks that are not part of your household, remove your masks, and talk and eat.
We are fortunate that here in South Texas, we have some incredible weather right now. People can do outdoor eating, and it would be wonderful, as a matter of fact. But still, I don't know what that exposes people to. Priya Parker, how do you negotiate all this?
Ahead of time. We tend to, when it can feel either awkward or tense, try to just say, okay, let's just figure it out when we get there. And as Dr. Lee keeps saying, that's not a good idea. And so a huge part, in the 90s and in the when Seinfeld was a big show, they kind of coined this term, define the relationship, the DTR. What is this thing? How are we doing this? You kind of make the implicit explicit. So if you are going to gather with others, to do it safely, to have the DTR, to have the DTCR, the define the corona relationship ahead of time. How are we going to sit? How are we going to figure out the food? Is everybody going to be masked? If you decide to be in person, to honor each other by having the conversation just the same way you would talk about logistics ahead of time, this is just a whole new layer of logistics. And if as a family, to first think about what is your first circle of responsibility to your, whoever that might mean. It can maybe an elder in your household, it may be a child, it may be just yourself. What is your first circle of responsibility? And what are the needs that you and this small circle need to be in place in order to engage with others? And have that conversation first, and then go and kind of state those needs in a loving way and see if they match. And if they don't, to say, we love you, let's do it in a different way this year.
So no surprises. If you're coming in my house, these are going to be the rules. They've been emailed to folks and saying, if you can't abide by this, then I'm sorry, we just can't do it. But then folks are going to get offended, and then there's also politics gets involved in that as well. It's like, oh, you NPR listening liberal with your believing of medical science, how dare you try to keep me from celebrating the nation's Thanksgiving holiday? I mean, how do you negotiate that?
unfortunately, you know, one of the most dangerous things has happened, which is our health has become politicized. And so, you know, the best advice in some cases, and I've seen this in you know, online and various different advice boards, is to politely, in ways that ideally maintain connection, disengage. I know one person who chose to work remotely, but chose to be on staff that day, in part because it gave her a legitimate excuse to not create the pain or friction that it would have to be to tell her family the truth as to why, you know, her actual feelings as to why it was coming. I think there are many different ways to say no, and particularly within family and political lines, to not escalate it around politics, but to try to maintain the same way we do, not just around COVID, but around our religious beliefs, around the ways we raise our children or choose not to raise our children. I mean, this is not the first Thanksgiving where, you know, where choices are perceived to be political. And so in the same way you navigate loving relationships in years past, this is now, you know, a much more complicated version of what many of us have been dealing with within our families for, you know, well before this pandemic hit.
Let's go to Rusty on the phones. Rusty, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Oh, yes. Actually, you know what? You almost answered my question right there, specifically about having to meet with in person, and I appreciate you talking with us. But I guess I'm kind of faced with a moral dilemma when it comes to meeting up with my family for Thanksgiving. It's not necessarily a political issue or anything like that, and I'm well aware of precautions I need to take and also different opportunities. But this might be the last chance I get to see some of my relatives this year because, particularly, my grandmother is suffering from debilitating disease at this point, and it's just kind of really hard to reconcile the fact that I go out there and then, oh God, no, I've accidentally infected her, and that'd be really tragic. But then if I don't go, I really lose the last chance I get to possibly see her. And I guess pardon the rambling response, and I'll take my question off the air. Thank you very much.
Rusty, you were great. I appreciate that fantastic question, and it brings home the point that we are living in a tragedy. A pandemic is a tragedy, and a tragedy is when there are no good choices. Lisa Lee, what would you say?
Yeah, this is a common thing I've heard over the last few weeks, listening to friends and other colleagues who are dealing with exactly what Rusty just expressed, and it is a very challenging situation. I would say in this case, that as Rusty described, it isn't necessarily a matter of going or not going. We can negotiate these kinds of interactions relatively safely. And that means that if, you know, in his case, to go to see his grandmother, if this is going to be potentially the last time he's able to see her, he can go there, he can be far enough away from her, they can both be masked, they don't have to eat a meal together, they don't have to sing together, they don't have to infect each other. They can visit, see, have some place. It's not see her or don't see her. It is, you know, just be safe about it. Keep that 6 feet apart. Make sure that you're masked and that you speak quietly and lovingly. And then, you know, that if that is your last interaction with an ill relative, that's a much more satisfying one than saying, you know, I couldn't be with you at all. So there are ways to be safer about it.
And but we are, if you have to travel across the country to do something like that, should you wait maybe a week or two when travel has tapered down some?
You know, travel across the country, and we talked, Priya mentioned before about planning ahead. It is so critical that if you're going to travel that you do plan ahead and you go when there's least amount of risk. There will be no risk-free travel this year. If you do decide to travel, you have to think very carefully about how to manage that risk the best you can, how you can keep your distance from other passengers, whether that, if you're going to take public transportation like an airline or a bus or something, you definitely have to think ahead of how to keep your distance, stay masked, and make sure that you are keeping yourself and others safe.
We're talking about the Thanksgiving holidays and how people can celebrate Figure out ways to connect, reconnect with family members, but still stay safe, because this pandemic, the spread of coronavirus, it's not going away. It's getting worse and worse. We've never been at a higher risk than right now for being infected by COVID-19. How to protect you and your family. We're going to keep talking about that. Also, we're going to hear from San Antonio Food Bank when we come back from this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
Support for TPR Podcast comes from Port of Entry, a podcast filled with cross-border stories from cross-border people like you. Port of Entry zooms in on some of the interesting and unexpected ways the U.S. and Mexico are inextricably linked, despite the wall running between us. From KPBS and PRX, Port of Entry is available now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Get details at portofentrypod.org.
Oil is in trouble, and so is Texas. Hi, I'm Paul Flav. The Shakeout, TPR's podcast about the economic cost of COVID-19, takes you to the communities impacted the most.
We talk about here in Odessa and the Permian Basin that no matter what industry you're in, we're all in the oil industry together.
The bust is bad, but what comes next? You can find that episode and all of The Shakeout's work on Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get fine quality audio.
Back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. If you watched CBS Sunday Morning this week, you saw a report on San Antonio hunger telling you things you probably already know, but, you know, told once again in a very, you know, highly produced way that San Antonio has a hunger problem. It's had one for a very long time. Michael Guetta joins us from the San Antonio Food Bank. He's the chief resource officer there. To tell us how the food bank is dealing with record need right now during the pandemic, during this economic downturn, and now it's Thanksgiving. Michael, welcome back to The Source.
Hey, David. Good afternoon. Thank you. Good to be with you.
So that report, it told the story about San Antonio's hunger right now, that photograph of all of those cars stacked up, and unfortunately that photograph probably could be taken again this week.
You know, yeah, so that iconic photograph was William Luther from the San Antonio Express News, April 9th at Trader's Village. Go back to that ancient time. It was Holy Thursday on the Christian calendar, right before Easter. We had been having, you know, a couple thousand cars visiting these larger distributions early on in the pandemic, and we thought, well, just because of the flood of some of the perishable food, that we would go bigger that day, kind of the feeding of the 5,000 in it. Turned into 10,000 cars and 50,000 individuals, literally 1.5 million pounds of food. And, you know, that picture has become so iconic for the economic fallout and economic hardship that so many people are facing during the pandemic. And, William did a great job with that, and then the whole Hearst team behind him. But you're right, it's told the story of the now, but as people start to peel that apart a little bit, they're seeing that, you know, in a city like San Antonio, that now of hunger and poverty has been with us. You know, we went into the pandemic as the city with the highest poverty rate in the country for any big metro area. And the pandemic has definitely just made it worse, for not for us, but for so many families, right? It's just, you know, those families that were good, hardworking San Antonians before, and now their restaurant or their hotel or their entertainment business or the retail that they were in, they can't find work.
So, Michael, I'm going to ask you, your phone line's kind of cracking up, and one of our producers is going to talk with you right now to see how we can clear that up. And I'm going to spin over here to Priya Parker, author of The Art of Gathering, How We Meet and Why It Matters, host of the New York Times podcast, Together Apart. What about interaction with charities right now as a way of dealing with not being able to get with your family, still being able to feel the spirit of Thanksgiving?
It's a wonderful idea, and a huge part of the opportunity in front of us in this moment, as is true in all gatherings that we take for granted, is to first ask ourselves, why are we doing this? Why am I doing this? And if it is, as I imagine, has to be some element of gratitude, as well as being with your people, what might gratitude look like this year? And there are so many ways to express gratitude for many of us. Because of COVID, there have been new people in our lives this year in our neighborhood. Our friendship patterns have, changed. Our neighborhood patterns have changed. Many of them have shrunk. But in many neighborhoods, even or virtually, the teacher that took an extra special care to make sure that your child was able to log into Zoom, the grocery delivery, the grocery who decided to walk the extra block to help you with your groceries. Like, we all have had people who have helped us. And so what are ways to show gratitude, but also how can you engage in charities and organizations that are doing really wonderful work? How do you donate to groups like the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center, the American Indian College Fund, the Bay Area American Indian Two-Spirits? How might you engage? There's projects where you can pay people's delinquent water bills, the Detroit Water Project, for example. There's so many ways that we can still meaningfully express gratitude in a way that feels appropriate to you, that's within your means, and that allows you to express with and through others what we are thankful for this year of all years.
Michael Guetta, you're back now with Chief Resource Officer for the San Antonio Food Bank. I know y'all had a giveaway, a way to help people get some food this last week with the Tobin, and now you have another event this week at Camargo Park. Is that right?
We do, David. The large distribution, and I apologize for the crackling and the bad connection earlier. Hopefully we're much better now. We will be doing distributions every day, actually, around the city and really around the region. We serve 16 counties of Southwest Texas, so not only are we looking after San Antonio and Bexar County, but the entire community. We'll have a larger one on Tuesday, but then actually on-site at the San Antonio Food Bank as well, most days of the week, including Saturday. So it's easy to find all that information at our website. And, there's so many people calling us with extra turkeys and hams and non-perishable food because just the heart of our community doesn't want anybody to go hungry these holidays. It's incredibly moving.
If people don't have access to a vehicle, what's the best way to get access to you?
Call us. We do home deliveries as well. One of the things we learned in the pandemic, what's from our friends like at Meals on Wheels and others, is how to get home delivered groceries. So calling the San Antonio Food Bank, our main member, is the best way. We do have people take the bus to get food over at the food bank. That can happen, but we'd much rather take as much as we can to families in a home delivery method.
One of San Antonio's greatest traditions is the Raul Jimenez Thanksgiving dinner. We're not able to have that in our traditional manner this year because of COVID. And how is the food bank partnering up to make sure that people still are able to get a meal?
It is a loss for our community. And then, in December, HEB and their big feast of sharing, much like the Kim Menes dinner, that also canceled. HEB is going to do a large mid-December food distribution at the AT&T Center on the 15th with us to replace that feast of sharing. excuse me. But I think what families need to do is to know, one, not to panic, that we have food, that we have meals that we can deliver. And to connect with us either online by the website or by phone is the best way. We can get one of our client services managers to navigate for them something in their neighborhood, something that works for them in the time of day when maybe they're not taking care of kids or can be free.
And another big Thanksgiving tradition that we have in San Antonio that supports the San Antonio Food Bank is the Turkey Trot, the running event. And because of COVID, that's not able to be held in person. It does raise money for the food bank. It's a great way to get your exercise and support a great cause. What are you doing now?
We're going to have a run, but we're encouraging everybody to run it wherever they happen to be on Thanksgiving Day. So if you're traveling, you can still participate. You can run at any time of the day on Thanksgiving Day. Registration is open through Wednesday evening, but you can do your 3.2 miles as a walk or a run, do it with your family members. You can get a shirt and a medal as you register. That probably won't get to anybody before Thanksgiving, but we'll send those medals and shirts for anybody that registers by Wednesday.
And that's a fundraiser for the food bank.
Yeah, each registration provides a turkey for a family. And so those folks who are registering kind of late this week, all those turkeys will be used for the kind of Christmas, December holiday meals.
San Antonio Board of Realtors teaming up with the San Antonio Food Bank to provide food distribution at the Alamo Dome on Tuesday, November 24th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Lots of you guys are really busy right now. It's one we only have you for a couple of minutes.
Ah, well, hey, listen, sorry about the breakup earlier. I had to walk away from one of our distribution events. But there are many, many ways for folks to get help. But also, we are concerned about the food supply around the corner. So those folks that can donate non-perishable food items at any HEB or donate online to us safely, that $1 will provide 10 pounds of food. We're going to need it more than ever this holiday season, Dave, unfortunately.
All right, Michael Guetta, I'll let you get back to the food distributioner. We really appreciate you and the work that the food bank is doing.
Well, and to you guys at TPR, I hope you guys have a beautiful Thanksgiving. Thank you, sir.
All right, sir. All right. So let's take a break right here if we can. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. You can call in with your questions or comments. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can also text us at that number, tweet at us at TPR Source, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking to the experts about Thanksgiving, not about the recipe for your cranberry relish, but how to have a Thanksgiving and adapt in these challenging times and why that's necessary. If you have a question or a comment, a suggestion, you want to tell us how your family is doing, the number is 833-877-8255-833-TPR-TALK. We just heard from Michael Guetta from the San Antonio Food Bank. If you have something to say about that, we're all ears. We want to hear what you got to say about that too. I did get a text message. It says, "Hi, thanks for the great show. We live in Bernie on Acreage. We decided to have an outdoor Thanksgiving this year. Each small family table will be safely distanced over 15 feet from each other. We even rented a porta potty to keep everyone from entering the house. Everyone will be masked and there will be no close mingling. It will be very different, but it will be memorable and safe for those who respect science and the severity of this pandemic." And that's from Lisa. Thank you, Lisa, for that message. And Lisa Lee, PhD, epidemiologist at Virginia Tech. This is, does that sound good to you?
That sounds fantastic. Really creative and innovative, and thinking carefully through, again, planning ahead and thinking carefully through the way we keep each other safe. You know, we've been talking all this whole hour about how Thanksgiving is about being connected. And in public health ethics, we think a lot about how we're all interrelated and all connected. And being able to do the celebration with the proper precautions keeps us not only connected, but also reinforces the idea that each of us has a role to play in knocking this pandemic out of our lives, and that is to not spread the disease. And the way we do that is to make sure that we stay distanced, that we keep our masks on, that we gather only with our household members, and we don't spread the disease. That's really what this is going to take, is for all of us to pitch in and not spread to the next person. And that way, a lot of our economy is going to come back. A lot of the services that folks are finding themselves in need of now will not be needed quite as much, because we'll be able to get back to work.
Priya Parker, author of The Art of Gathering, How We Meet and Why It Matters. In your wrote a column for the New York Times about this very topic. You had a really great idea I loved. It was about having these Zoom getting together and designating someone as like the interviewer. If you have a very like a trained counselor in the family, or someone who just happens to be born to be an interviewer, make them the interviewer. And why does that work?
Gatherings benefit from some amount of structure, and that's even more true online. You get into these virtual spaces, whether it's a Google Meet or a Zoom or FaceTime, or choose your favorite technology, and it can suddenly just become kind of awkward, kind of looking at each other, talking over each other, not sure who's muting. And so assigning a favorite aunt or a nephew a role and creating some amount of structure. For the first hour, we're going to do cocktail hour with the kids, and everybody sends a photo of a moment in their life where they were happier than 2020 and a moment in their life that was worse than 2020, you know, and submit now. There's a lot of games now that you can do online or virtually, or simply ways you can play still pay cards, assigning a role for that part of the evening. Part of what you need when there's multiple people on in these spaces, even if it feels counterintuitive to do it with friends and family, is somebody at some level taking the mic and helping us coordinate. So it's not just chaos, but it's actually really fun.
And Lisa Lee, there's been some talk about approaching dealing with COVID, lessons learned from how we've dealt with sexually transmitted diseases and harm reduction. Can you help me understand that a little bit better?
Sure. What we talk about when we talk about harm reduction is recognizing that it's really hard to get to a place where you have zero risk, but that every mitigation strategy you can add to the mix helps reduce your risk. And so when we talk about harm reduction, we're talking about just what your listener emailed in about Lisa and her family having tables set apart where the family units will be at their own table and they'll be far apart from other family units. This is not zero risk, but it is layering risk reduction strategies, distance, masks, those kinds of things. So when we're talking about harm reduction, we're really talking about how we can layer up our protection. And that's why if we have a Thanksgiving gathering, to consider having the gathering separate from the meal, for example, that is a way to reduce the harm. And so really thinking through some of the ways in which you can make your risk lower than it otherwise would be is really going to be important this year.
Priya Parker, the way we have done Thanksgiving, our quote-unquote traditional Thanksgiving, didn't that kind of need an upgrade anyway?
There's a wonderful writer and sociologist named Stephanie Kuntz, whose work I love, and she wrote a book years ago called The Way We Never Were. And I wrote a essay this week in the New York Times called It's Time to Abandon Our Scripts. And in it, I called her up and I asked her, what would you say about this year? And she said, a lot of the scripts that many of us have inherited are no longer working, not just for the men or the women, but when roles are so heavily weighted in terms of one group, regardless of who it is, bears the brunt of the weight and the work, and the other one doesn't, it actually is not necessarily a recipe for family unity. And so partly this year, to begin to ask, hey, how do we want to do this? And it's for many families, it's a shared myth that the way we were doing was working.
And do you think moving forward that we will be we're not going to go back to the same way of doing Thanksgiving after we get through this pandemic? We'll change things up?
I think that some families will find new ways of marking Thanksgiving that will continue. I think that this year, I think even more than in years past, people are, as we're digging into asking why do we do it this way, we are also reading more and more pieces about the original historical accuracy of the relationship between, pilgrims and Native Americans. We're starting to read more about how there are certain Native American and indigenous groups that host national days of mourning on Thanksgiving and beginning to ask in our schools, well, why? And is there a way to still celebrate Thanksgiving without perpetuating a story, that may not be true or that create a lot of harm? How do we begin to, in a fresh 2020, 2021 way, think about Thanksgiving and gratitude while also navigating, the more accurate stories of our history? And then I think that there will be other families who try something, and as we all are coping in this year, and then next year go back to doing it the way you did it in 2019 and think, wow, I'm so glad we don't have to repeat 2020 again.
But at least you live to 2021 to get to that next Thanksgiving. Lisa Lee, that seems to be the big concern. We are in a pandemic. Things are bad, and they're likely going to get worse before we get that vaccine.
Indeed, and they are going to get worse. We know that just unabated, one person with the infection is likely to infect over two people. So on average, around 2.5 people get infected from each person. So you can just imagine if you infect two people and they each infect two people and so on, that those numbers get pretty dense pretty quickly. And that's the problem with this infection, which is that, we are, with each person, we infect a lot more people than we know of. And so one of the things that when we think about gathering or giving up gathering for Thanksgiving is to recognize that it might not be that you even know the people who get hurt from an infection. So you might potentially be expose someone else, and while you might not get sick, others with whom they're in contact might get really sick. And so we really need to think carefully about how to get through until we get this vaccine, which it looks like is coming in the next several months. I mean, it's likely going to be a year before, I mean, if this vaccine gets an authorization from FDA and we start to be able to get doses into people and it works and we're pleased with it and we continue to distribute the vaccine, it's likely going to be probably fall or perhaps next winter before we're fully covered. So we're not out of the woods with the distancing and the masks yet, even with the vaccine, but we are getting much closer. So let's all do what we can to reduce this spread of this infection until we can get coverage with the vaccine.
Okay. I got a caller here, Raul Jimenez, it says. Raul Jimenez from the... And I just lost the call, I think. So they wanted to give us an update. If you can call back really quick, we'll get you on the air to talk about that. And let's go to Rudy on the phones. Rudy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, hello. Yeah, I mentioned that I had my sister got sick a month and a half ago with the virus. She came out clean after that. What is the danger with that and my parents wanting to go over to her house in Austin?
Ooh, okay. I get a quick answer from Lisa Lee on that really quickly.
Yeah, really quickly, I would say it's really important for your sister to make sure that she checks with her healthcare provider to ensure she's not still infectious, that she doesn't still have symptoms and is still infectious, because it will be a challenge if she does see your parents and potentially has virus that could spread.
All right, let's go now. We did get the Raul Jimenez caller back. Raul Jimenez, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me. I was just calling in, just as we're speaking about how Thanksgiving is going to be different this year and how everyone's kind of pivoting this year for the pandemic. We also are. We've been able to do some things to where we could get nutritious meals out to seniors, homeless, veterans. And this year we're going to do contactless deliveries. We're going to do cold deliveries on Wednesday, and we're going to do deliveries on Thursday. And we've kind of, taken the initiative to say, hey, we still want to be able to give to those that need it the most and continue the legacy we've had for 41 years of giving to, those that are most needed and most vulnerable in our society. But not only that, just to give hope. I think Thanksgiving is one of those days of the year that it's truly the time to be thankful. And we're very blessed. And I think, us continuing the tradition and getting to those people is definitely going to help. And we are continuing the mission to feed all those that are in need of a meal for Thanksgiving.
We sure do appreciate that. One of San Antonio's greatest traditions. A lot of hard work, a lot of people coming together to make that happen. And so I appreciate that. Let me go to Priya Parker. And we got just a little bit of time left. But chances are that as families get together, whether through Zoom, there's going to be people missing because of the COVID.
Yeah.
And so how do they, is this one chance to, you got to be able to address that.
Absolutely. There's a wonderful group called The Dinner Party, which was founded by a woman named Lennon Flowers years ago when she lost her mother and she realized that there aren't spaces for 20 and 30 somethings to talk about death in a meaningful way. And she has a wonderful online guide, but one of the suggestions she said she asked for Thanksgiving this year is at some point in the evening to raise your toast, whether on Zoom or in person, to the person in your life, dead or alive, that couldn't be with you tonight.
All right, we have to go. Thank you so much, Lisa Lee at Virginia Tech, Priya Parker, author of The Art of Gathering, How We Meet and Why It Matters. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by Ruben Garcia and Kathleen Creedon. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.